this is not enough to defeat anapanasati. Then don't go and arise the word not anapanasati, do anapanasati. Because all this is verbalization. You just silent and be with it. Initially, when you still have hindrance, very powerful, you haven't settled down, like the first day or the retreat or second day, then you have to do the deconditioning of this heedless thinking. Then the mind sweeping method is very useful. Metta is very useful. So it's like the 6 hour, you can use the 6 hour. The moment you recognize that your mind has been distracted by something, whether you are lost in thought or the pain, numbness, itchiness or any sensation or any thought that create like and dislike. So all these are movement of thought. All these are activity of mind, and you cannot be peaceful anymore. When you are doing that, you are not in sati. Then the other way to train yourself in daily life is be with the moment, means very simple. When you stand, be with the moment you stand. Then as you walk, if you are not talking, try not to think, just body and mind as one. But the thought will come. But when it comes, you just silent to be aware. Then as you learn to do this more and more, means you slow down your heedless thinking. Because every time you are aware, there is no thought. Every time when you see something or hear something, when the attention is there, there is no thought. But the trouble with most people is they don't pay attention. They are not aware. They straight away perceive, then react, or comment and chatter inside. You have to change that way of living life. Then just now a very good example was when we were having dinner. Then I saw Mifeng skip using the spoon to take some veg. Then all of a sudden I realized this is the most simple and basic way to teach you how to do daily mindfulness. Because you are not talking, you are silently eating. So what you do is when you hold your spoon, you're aware. Then when you lift it up, of course the mind will have certain intention, like that veggie that you like. Then as you move this spoon, you're aware. As you scoop, you're aware. When you're aware, you don't think. This will start to decondition your old habit, the heedless thinking. Otherwise, most of the time you are not aware of what you are doing. You are thinking. As you scoop also, you're thinking. And sometimes you chew, you enjoy your food inside, but you don't know what you are doing here. Understand? So mindfulness is very simple. When you change the way you live life, then while I was trying to dispose of what I have, I have this what they call medication, the what they call lamination that covers the medicine. Then I got the what they call, after I eat, there are some things that I need to throw and dispose. So I just mindfully, attentively, because that is my habit. Now I understand it because this is what I do now. I just, my hand move. When I take, I aware. I take, I aware. When I do this very often, I cannot think anymore. Isn't it? Not like before. Then when I move and go to the rubbish bin, even as I put the thing down, my mind is with this thing. If I'm with the moment, at peace all the time, there is no anger, unhappiness, and the thinking cannot come out. Understand? Understand? Of course, you can perceive other things, but the moment you perceive, you're aware, finish. Understand? Then you move on. Then if you start to slow down your mind this way, remember, slow down your thought, your mind, not slow down your action. Then you can do things very fast. Understand? Then later on, you realize this awareness can be very fast. Then you can multitask. But when it's silent, it is very different. Then it can understand a lot of things. Got question on this? So now you understand how to do it. Even while you're sitting, every movement, every, how many of you are aware when you scratch, when you do your hair, when you try to do something, or when you try to put your shawl properly? How many of you are aware of all this movement, all this activity? Then how you come out from your sitting posture, how you went into your sitting posture. You need to do that because you have to be ever mindful. Like the lady, huh? If you are aware that you are rubbing your nose or something, then it's good. Then you nod your head. So and you laugh, you smile. So you can be aware of all this. These are the beginning of daily mindfulness. Then you can see Lily smile. Thank you. Oh, sadhu, there's a question. Okay, good. Anybody want to report their meditation first? Yes, pass the mic to the sister at the back there. What's your name? I don't know your name. Guat Cheng, you are from? Oh, okay, okay. Oh, so you come with Puan Chi. Okay, okay. Where is Puan Chi? She is not the one you bring, New Year time. That one younger. This one more elderly. Okay, okay, yeah.
Brother yeah. Tan, this morning while you were sharing
Did I hear you wrong? You mentioned Brother Tan.
Sorry.
Never mind. Don't worry. I just want to make you aware.
It's so okay. Sorry.
Don't worry. Just it's recorded. After people will say, wow, what is going on? All the yogi name also cannot remember.
So sorry.
And of all people, you cannot remember. Never mind.
Not mindful.
Don't worry. It's nothing to do with mindfulness because sometimes the mind is conditioned by habitual tendency. But I just want to point out that the recording, people understand. Yeah, you talk about Dhammacakkappavattana.
Brother Teo was sharing with us, I could feel the joy.
Yeah.
And then my tears served.
Yes, sadhu. Not only you, so many.
At the second part, my whole body was, but I could feel the vibration
Correct. Very good, sadhu. Because you have your parami from the past, the nature will respond because these are the Dhamma that is very rare. And it's as if the Buddha during that time, when he was sharing all this.
Yeah.
And when you hear every rhyme from the earthbound devas until the four guardian deva, 33, Tavatinsa, then Tusita, then up to all the various rhyme and all the Brahma rhyme. So even they rejoice, because this is so beautiful and the teaching is so beautiful. So that's why it was a very rare occasion. Then after that, the whole universe like quack. Then there was radiant, there was light on the whole planet. That's why Earth became very famous after that. So very good. Then what is your question?
I just want to report.
Good. Okay.
After that, I continue with my sitting. I could see my breathing very clearly.
Very good.
And then very slow.
Very natural, very slow. Then you are very relaxed. Means you are able to be with it in a very natural way. You don't try to force the breathing. You don't try to know. You're just silent and be with it. Be with it and at peace with it. Means you are not reacting to what happened to the breathing. Ayo, my thought again wander off. Ayo, my anapanasati. You are not meditating. You are verbalizing inside. You are chattering inside. You are talking. But in her case, it's good because she just silent and allow it to be. And then he realized all this start to happen. Because when you really get it right, the breathing and the mind together is aware. Understand? Very naturally. Then when you walk also say, the breath, body and mind as one. Very nice feeling, very light, very natural. That is what mindfulness is all about. Not with the mind trying to be mindful or walk. Like in a certain disciplined way, I'm mindful, but lifting, push. What are you doing? You are verbalizing, you are not mindful. Mindful means naturally aware. Naturally aware, you can only do it when you are without thought. That's why that one you have to train the mundane mind. You don't go and live the heedless way like before. So now you start to change. every time you do something, just aware, because you are not talking to anybody. Then like Mi Feng got it right, he can do those parts, and it's so different. But she realized when she talked to people, very difficult to maintain that mindfulness. I said, it's like that, because starting, not stable yet. So when it's stable, when it speak from the heart, direct, no thought, no thinking, don't go and recall memory and like how to speak. Understand? Then you become very natural. When you are very natural, you can be aware inside as you speak. That's why I told you, inside the nature is still as I speak, because I don't make note and recall anything. When I reflect, contemplate, if I got something, I make a note. Then when I come out, I write it down. Otherwise, the next moment, I cannot remember. I cannot carry in memory. Because the aggregate is non-grasping. It cannot hold to anything at all. So split second is gone. Sometimes I did the sharing. Then after that, halfway through, this one will come and inquire, how did I come to this point? And then you have to tell me before this. Then when I remember, then I know what to say to you and continue. Because this nature depends on what arises. Then from that condition, it will just know how to share. Then it is wise. It know what to do. That's why sometimes you say, wow, like brother, you know. No. The question I want to ask, after that, like all answer, it's not I know. Nothing to do with me. But the nature know, and it respond accordingly. Like this morning, we share, was it this morning or last night? I forgot already. We share the three type of obstacle, coming obstacle. Last night, and this morning, just now somebody, one Kayanamita, she came and talked to me. He wants to understand this thing. Then I remind her. That's why the nature speak about the three type of karmic obstruction. And you can only free from this karmic thing if you develop wisdom, especially the heart sutta wisdom. So all this, with wisdom, you can overcome. So I say, nothing to worry. Then you only need to reflect, contemplate, and understand clearly. Form and mind is form and mind. No reality. They can be your children, your loved one, your parents, or brother, sister. But they are just form and mind as well. But law of karma recognizes relationship. You have a duty. You do your duty. That's it. Then you respect them for what they are. Their life, you let them live. You don't go and force them, pressure them, or give them any what they call problem. Because out of respect for you as their parent, their mother or their father, then you say, no, you cannot do this. This is wrong. This is not right. Then he as a son, feel very, very difficult. Because he respects you, he has gratitude, he wants to share something with you, then he wants to tell you the truth. But you have a view that opposes what he do. Then what happens? Conflict. Then the relationship strained. That's what suffering is all about. That's what the first noble truth reality on relationship is all about. So you must have wisdom and understanding. Then you can resolve it amicably. Then you accept him for what he is, his life, his karma. Let him live, let him decide. But as a mother, as a parent, you got your duty to advise. Then talk to them nicely, give them confidence, give them faith, so that everything that happened, they will come back to you. This is how you develop wisdom, so that you respect each and every living being. You respect them for what they are, just like how you wish people can respect you for what you are. Then you cut away a lot of this unnecessary suffering, attachment, clinging, grasping, that leads to all the fear, worry, anxiety, and unhappiness. And then she herself realized, she said, yeah, after she reflected, contemplated, especially the green book, then he realized, for my mind only, karma, just do your duty. And then she suddenly said, when she can accept the son for what he is, then he realized there is a type of peace and joy that she had never experienced before. Oh, but then the thought come in, as a mom, I must help my son, I must do something. That's why all this will arise. But you will know what to do when you have the Dhamma. Okay? So, coming back to your question, what is it that you want to know? Your experience, I heard already.
So, my mind was very calm.
The Anapanasati going on very well. Very good.
Throughout the sitting time. And then now, why is my body still feel the vibration?
Very good. That's why you need to relax and silent. Because you don't know how to relax and silent. The energy went in. The energy come from the joy. From your, what they call, your mind state, because you have faith. Then there is this joy after you heard the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta and Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. So this joy open up your heart. Then this energy build up. Then up there they may also be helping you. Then our collective consciousness can also help you. That's why when you have faith, you will connect. Without faith, the spiritual faculty, you cannot connect. Then you cannot receive all this. Because all the cultivator of the way, the Buddha, the Bodhisattva, and all the great beings, their nature is ever radiating for the cultivator of the way who are sincere, who have the faith. You will receive one. That's why you don't have to, like, how come I got nothing on? Why I so stupid? Why people progress so fast? You don't go and think like that, yes? Everything is very fair, nature's law. The nature's law never discriminates. If you have done your part, if you have the condition and the affinity, then things will happen. It's not to say they are lucky, because they just do their part. Like previously, some Kanamita friend also said, he saw their friend that they bring, they progress so far. Then, go one day, this brother, he attend my Tuesday class, he tell me, he speak Mandarin, is it? Brother, 为什么这样? Yeah. 我好像什么都没有. I say, 什么都没有就好. Yeah, he say the friend progress so fast. He like got nothing. Nothing is good. I say, why you want something? He say, I cannot connect. I don't know. This is it. Everybody seems to have something. Then they progress. Then he say, he very sincere one, and he strive on very hard one, and he very diligent. And yet, for so many years, he was trapped, and he couldn't progress and move. He meditate a lot, went to retreat a lot, not married. Then I tell him, you don't worry. Your time will come. You must have the patience to wait for the appropriate condition. Then I say, you check. You need to ask for forgiveness. You ask for forgiveness. Because there are certain things that you do now is due to your past, karmic. You end up doing that type of meditation is because at that time in the past, you promote that type of meditation. You lead people to Holland. So now you go back to this type of meditation, you go to Holland also. So all this is part of karmic. So you ask for forgiveness, then you determine to repent, then this thing can actually be avoided and overcome. Then after that, when the condition is ready, where you are very sincere, you have the faith, you will connect. And really after that, he said he follow what I advise him, ask for forgiveness, then do the bowing. Then he read the note. Initially cannot understand. Then later he went to Thailand with Sister Yun Chan Leo. I think 3 or 4 of them. Then all of a sudden there, the chanting of Kuan Yin, I think in Sanskrit or what, I forgot already. Immediately, where he was bowing, asking for forgiveness, all those things for the last 2-3 months, then all of a sudden there, he connected. That type of vibration, the mantra that come out, suddenly went in. Then he all of a sudden connect and become so different. Then he become very mindful, that he did a lot of bowing. Then because of the faith, he progressed very fast. Then the past come back to him. Then he go and read my note again at night, every night 1 hour. He said, it was so beautiful, he was with tears. He said, all the Dhamma is there, so clear. But last time read, 6 times also cannot understand. Why? Because I told him, this one come from the silent mind. When you connect, your mind becomes silent. That's why you can understand. all these things. Then he was full of joy. And he knew what happened. Then he, before he come back here, he told me, Vratil, when I was there, I already looking for you. I want to share all this and seek your further understanding. I said, beautiful. Not long, a lot of things will happen to him. And really, all these things happened to him. And he became so different that he can become like, throughout the day, very mindful. Now, hardly any thought, little or no thought. In the daily life, you know. Then even he go for evening walk or exercise, he said this thing inside there, the chanting and all those things, follow him on. Then the mindfulness is there. Then he can understand many things. Then keep on understanding. This is the one that say, I got nothing, I very slow. So you cannot be impatient when things are not right. It will not manifest. But when you maintain the faith, the sincerity, then you ask for forgiveness. When the coming obstruction is no more, then it will connect. Yeah. And when it connects, it becomes so beautiful. That's why the form and mind will understand. Then he keep on coming back and ask me, Brother, he speak in Mandarin, 为什么这么奇怪呢? I say, sure, 奇怪啦, because you use your thought to think. He said, all those experiences he's experiencing is against what the thought understand one. It's almost the direct opposite one. That's why I say, I told you the truth is always that way. What living being thought is the truth, is the opposite of the truth, the real truth. That's why the Buddha say, living being think that life is very real. They think that this form and mind is very real, that's why they attach. Then they experience everything like very permanent. Oh, the floor, very solid, very permanent. My house, my car, my loved one, my son, my children, my property, my wealth, my career. Everything like very real. But the true characteristic is the opposite, impermanent. Then they thought life is full of happiness and joy. Then they try to work very hard for money. Then at the expense of their health. And then when they have a health problem, they regret. Then they use the money that they have worked to pay for their health. That's why when you are not so wise, you do all this type of thing. Then they will start to come to an understanding about life. Because there are certain reality that you need to understand. That's why you will appreciate the Four Noble Truths very, very much. And this is what life is all about. So when you can have that type of understanding, just like what he went through, then he realized everything that the thought last time thought is the truth. Yeah, it's all Dhamma knowledge. The real one is the opposite. Then after that, we went to this Termisan. Then he went to Burma and Sri Lanka, I think. Mainly Burma. And you know what happened to him when he was in Burma? He was so amazed. He came back and he reported. He said, Vratil, really amazing, is it? What? He again, the Mandarin word, 这么奇怪, is it? He said, one day he was eating, just like you eat your meal. He realized, no thought, so mindful, everything, very natural. He not try to, not eating, no such thing, no word. Then he realized, the mind is very different already. Then when he come out of the dining, then when he walk outside, he was looking at something. Then all of a sudden, there was so much joy inside. Suddenly, the way he see, the direct seeing, perception, without word, without thought, he saw that thing. Wow, he was full of joy. It's like that one. Last time, he cannot understand what I write. Then how come so fast? So he was full of joy, really amazed by what this mind is all about. When you connect, it transforms and it becomes like that. Because when you really silent with the true mind is like that. Like Hui Ning, no need to learn Dhamma, illiterate. He heard the truth, awakened already. When they chant the Diamond Sutta, the mind must have no dwelling. Immediately he awakened. Well, his mind was really like that. He was born without a mundane mind. He was all the time using that true mind. He was a very simple person. didn't go to school, illiterate, work at the, he just do his thing. So throughout the day, his mind is very quiet, very peaceful, because the true mind. That's why you can understand very easily. So you only need to train your mind to be heedful, to be aware, to be silent. Then use it to develop wisdom. And then you will become very beautiful. Then like the Buddha said, once you have heedfulness, the heedful never die. Understand? Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. Means you are destined for enlightenment. You don't die anymore. Understand? Okay, anything else you want to report or share? That's all. Thank you. Okay, very good. Okay, if anybody else got question or not, otherwise I will read this one first. First, I would like to thank Ratio for the book on meditation. From there, I understand what is sati, awareness before the knowing. Those days I used to labor. After reading that book, there is clarity about what is sati and what is knowing. Now I try to practice without wavering. So that word practice is very dangerous. You just do, like swimming, do. Don't go and practice. Because awareness is something natural within you. You cannot practice to be aware. When that thing is already inside you, you no need to practice. Like the fish, you no need to teach them how to swim. You go and ask the fish, practice how to swim. He will tell you, no need to practice, just swim. That's how. Like housewife, you cook. Initially, when you start, you're very clumsy. You look at the cookbook, the recipe book, then you go and buy, then you go and weigh everything. Then you put in. Then you fry that time also very clumsy. Not skillful. Then the first dish come out, most of the time, is not up to your expectation or standard. Or sometimes you are lucky, of course, it come out quite okay. But most of the time, you cannot feel what is good food, quality food. So you got some taste, you say very good, very happy. But as you progress, as you become like more experienced, then you realize your cooking become very natural. No need to weigh already. You know so much. Then as you fry, the smell, you know already. Enough salt or not enough salt, you know already. Then you know how to adjust. Then later on, people ask you how you cook. You are such a good cook. He said, cook lah. Then you realize when you are very skillful, how you move your that pan, like your mind and the thing is one on. Understand not? It's very like a very smooth flow. Very skillful. Just like badminton, when you are very graceful, means when you execute the stroke, the shuttlecock and the stroke, they simultaneously move on. That's why it's very fast. That is mindfulness. They are mindful, but they are not heedful. Your heedful is to use that mindfulness to cultivate wisdom. And this one is use that mindfulness to actually develop a skill to be good in that field that they want to develop. Even Qigong or Rising also same. They have mindfulness. They use it to develop energy field. Not to say it's good or bad, because it's up to you. This Qigong thing can help you in your health. And also, if you need it, if you want to do it, it's up to you. But you have to understand, that one is another area that you want to develop and experience. But if you want to develop wisdom, you have to use it to cultivate wisdom. So that's the only difference. Can follow, Okay? So this part, practice, you have to be careful. You're just aware, like I said just now, be with the moment, at peace with it. Then whatever you do, just be with that action. That's why we choose aware, my teacher Ajahn Chah said, of all action, all movement in the present moment. Means whatever you do, your action, your movement, when you are with it, you are with the moment, you are without thought. So this will actually help you to recondition the way you live life from a heedless way where you think a lot, think ahead, and a lot of things, the thought will condition you. You want to do this, you want to do that. Then before you can even do, you think some more. Then sometimes you are reconditioned to go and do. But because you are still thinking, then you don't know how you end up there. Then sometimes you forgot. So this is what heedlessness is all. But when you are with the moment, attentive, you realize not so much thought. Then there is more space between thought. When there is more space between thought, you will have clarity. That's why your mind can understand things. Because it's not clouded. When your mind is clouded with thought, obscured with thought, the awareness cannot come out. Your true mind cannot come out. That's why you never understand that you have another nature within that is aware. And that nature, the essence of mind, you can understand one. It no need sense data on. It is always there on. Like your hearing consciousness, you need external vibration imprint on your eardrum, then trigger off hearing consciousness. Correct not? That's why you can hear sound. But when there is no sound, who hear? Well, there is no sense data, nothing to imprint on the eardrum. Then what is the entity inside you that realizes there is silence? The silence of nature. What is the thing inside that is aware of that? Well, there is no sense data. Correct? Silent and still no sense data, no vibration or anything. And that is the essence of mind. That which can be aware of silence, that is the true mind. But you have to wait till very, very quiet middle of the night when everything, like the activity no more. And then you can feel the silence. Those who study at night, late night, you will experience that. Well, last night when I studied at night at the university, I used to feel that silence. Well, when all the traffic become very little, then you suddenly feel the whole of nature, the vibration become very different. All of a sudden, like quiet down. That is your true mind, the essence of mind. Only that one can be aware without sense data. The condition arising mind, the mundane mind, there must be sense data. Upon contact consciousness arise, then it arises. And these are all phenomenal from nature. Condition arising mind, this is not the true mind. This is the mundane mind, the thinking mind, condition arising mind. So with this understanding, you will slowly, slowly move on. So now I read on the question. Now I try to, I don't know whether it's a he or she. Practice without labeling. So without labeling is good, just be aware. Just body and mind with the action and the movement. Then this morning, I think must be morning, I had a sitting before chanting my before chanting. My sati is very strong. Whatever I aware, the sensation, it comes and goes easily. That is good. After meditation, I answer nature's call. Very good. What is this word? Wow, not easy to read. My sati is still there. Okay. Answer nature's call, the sati is still there. Suddenly there is joy and beyond description. If there is a thought, what is it? Is there a thought or what? This one dot and one L or is it IE? That is, there is a thought. Must be that say, I must strive on harder. My faith become what? Stronger. Strive on harder so that the faith can become stronger. Then, harder in my sati. Oh, never mind. Let's skip that one. After I came to the hall and continue my meditation, I do my metta. Ah, very good. I really read it out, my loving kindness with sincerity and happiness. Ah, there is joy. Very good. This is what I want to share. Sadhu. Huh? Let's say sadhu to whoever it is. Huh? Sadhu, sadhu. I rejoice. Huh? Because when you really have the faith, you will go and do it. And when you do it, you will experience all this joy, happiness, the mindfulness, the silence, and all those things. That's why it's very different. But the real progress only comes when you can develop this understanding and do it in your daily life. Yes or not? If you come retreat, the environment very conducive, only you can do, then go back, you become heedless again. Then you don't really progress. Yes or not? You may got the experience, then you go and remember through your memory. Then you say, wow, when I was the retreat, this was beautiful. Why, now why I cannot? Then you get angry, unhappy. Then you try very hard. But the craving is there. So how can? So you just do like what you do in the retreat. You go home, you can still be mindful. Aware. Attend to one thing at a time. Initially, don't try to multitask before your mindfulness stabilizes, before you really can live life that way. So one thing at a time, attentive. Don't think ahead. Don't be heedless. Just be mindful of every action, every movement. Like I say, wake up, aware. Then how you come up, aware. Then what or stir you or condition you to move to the washroom or what, you just aware. Then you decide whether you want to go or you don't want to go. And how you go, you have to be mindful and you move. Even how you put your shoe on the shoe, right? You have to be very aware. Aware means what? How your hand go and open the thing. Most people, while you open, you are not aware, you think. No? Then how you put your shoe in also, you never recall. No? But if you are mindful, it's very different. After you open, your hand pull, then how your leg move, how you put the shoe in. Different people, different way. Some they take off first, then they use their hand and put it in. So every action, every movement, you aware. Understand? No? And then you can recall, because you are aware where you put and how's the shoe like. Understand? Then what are the things you see beside? Understand? Where there is awareness. And then you become different from your previous habitual, heedless way of doing things. And then as you do more and more of this mindfulness within the moment, then the thoughts slow down. Understand? It will not be like last time. Understand? Think ahead. Then the fear, worry, the stirring, the movement, everything, the hindrance, all you cannot see. Understand? Yeah? That is what your habitual, heedless living is all about. So this is what the mundane thinking mind, form of mind, will do. Because there is no awareness, there is no heedfulness, there is no understanding. So now that you have the understanding, you can change the way you live your life. You can develop daily mindfulness skillfully. Okay? Any more questions? This one finish, huh? Yeah. Never mind, I leave it here. Later you all can collect. The other sheet I have given back. Good. Anybody else? Yes. Selina, yeah.
Just now you are mentioning about mundane mind.
Yeah.
I have a question. Is that
okay?
I always hear a lot of chanting. It just come out by itself.
Yeah, yeah.
So at certain condition, when I walk past certain places,
yeah,
I can hear it.
Yeah.
Not just that I want to hear it.
I know. Where are the places you heard this chanting?
Can be around the temple.
Yeah, like which place? Which place?
The main shrine there.
Oh, the main shrine there. Yeah. A lot of people are here also.
Even not in the main shrine, during my daily life.
What type of chanting is it?
I don't understand. I think maybe it's just a Mahayana's chanting.
I know, huh? Is it in Mandarin or in Sanskrit or in Pali or what?
think it's in Mandarin, but
Mandarin. Okay.
Words that I don't understand.
Never mind, because it's not this life. This life you cannot understand. You English educated?
Yes.
Oh, no wonder. So they call banana one, banana. There are a lot of banana one. Joyce also banana, but now learn Mandarin. Mimi also English educated a lot. Even I myself English educated, but our past will manifest. Even though I English educated, somehow I can understand Mandarin word very clearly when it's the Dhamma. Even Master Sun Hua, he speak the Tao ancient China.
Actually, my question is that because when I told during my previous retreat, I told the teacher about this, and he tell me that either you just acknowledge it or just don't go deeper to it.
He asked you to not.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind. You're different. Teacher teach differently. Because all this is, you understand, like what the Buddha said, each and every one of us, we are born of karma. Remember? Hey, to your karma. Condition as a follower. You are what you are because of karma. That's why whatever your life situation, it has got a lot to do with karma. That's why I use the word 99.999% is karmically driven. So it has something to do with your past. That's why the Buddha said, whatever that happened, there are causes and conditions before. All the disciples, after they hear this, they become enlightened. Asajji spoke the same thing to Sariputta. Sariputta also, after that, become a Sotapan. He just heard from Asajji. That's why he respects Asajji a lot. Asajji is one of the five ascetics that listen to the Buddha's first sermon. Because one day, Sariputta at that time, before he became the disciple of the Buddha, he was observing this Asajji who go Pindapat alone in the city. Then he realized he's so calm, so serene, and this monk is very different. So he patiently wait for him to finish his meal. Then after that, he approached him. He asked him, "May I know who your teacher is?" Then Asajji said, "My teacher is so and so. May I know what he teach?" So Asajji be very humble. Said, "I only know very little of what my teacher teach." He said. Then after that, Sariputta, he got a lot of wisdom. He said, "Don't worry. He said, just tell me whatever little that you know about your teacher's teaching." He just told Sariputta one. My teacher said, whatever that happened, there are causes and conditions behind. And these causes and conditions, my teacher had explained. Just like that, no? He became a Sotapan. And now you all, how many become Sotapan? Very strange, no? When I read that sutta, the story, very funny, you know, my nature knew. I said, if at that time I around, I also awakened. No, because very clear to me, whatever that happened, there are causes and conditions behind. Then when he said, these causes and conditions, my teacher, which is the Buddha, has explained. You know what the teacher explained or not? Law of karma. You are born of your karma, head of your karma condition, and you are what you are. Just because of that, you know, all these are condition arising, cause of phenomenon, no reality. That's why from there, you penetrate Sakayatiti. There is no being inside there. This form and mind all karmically conditioned. Then the five degree of form and mind all condition arising. Everything is dependent on origination, dependent on origination. That's why this nature's law is very powerful. And you penetrate that understanding, you penetrate the three characteristics. Understand? That's how you can break free from Sakayatiti. And when you break free from Sakayatiti, the other two factors will go. The first three factors. That's why you can become Sotapan. But the form and mind become Sotapan. It's not you. So, Dhamma is like that. When you understand, you just penetrate. When you cannot understand, you use your thought. It's very difficult. Very, very difficult. So, for your case, whatever the chanting is, you don't worry. It has something to do with your past. You just have faith, silent, and just listen. then maybe it will connect you to something. Because Song also didn't know that the Heart Sutta Sanskrit chanting has a lot to do with his path. That's why when he was there, he connect. Then he suddenly understood everything. Then the thing become very different. That's why you must have faith, silent. Just listen. Listen with the silent. Then when you are ready, you will connect. The vibration came from your heart, isn't it? Yeah? You heard the thing through your hearing. But your heart, you don't feel anything. Oh, then you learn to listen from your heart. Yeah. When this one arise, from your consciousness, hearing, because you didn't chant, isn't it? At the sight, nobody chant, isn't it? You just hear it inside your head, isn't it? And then you silence your mind. Allow your mind to be with it. Then mind and chanting as one. That is how you become mindful. Then it will connect. It will connect. Then something will happen. Okay? Anything else?
The last night I was couldn't sleep. But yesterday night I have a good sleep.
Oh,
because sad. I have an intention. I told myself I want to wake up a certain time. And I want to allow. Usually in the middle of the night I will go to the toilet.
Yeah.
So this night I want to be in the control of my mind.
Yeah.
And this morning I wake up very early.
Yeah.
I did whatever, be mindful whatever I'm doing.
Very good, sadhu. Very good.
And I have a good
Good sleep. Then you have a good meditation. Yeah, good sitting. That's how you must develop. The faith, once it's there, you must determine. Wake up early. Because you need to actually develop the virya. That's all. Where the faith will drive the virya. Then when you are sincere and you are determined, the condition will be there. Then I can tell you, the mind very funny. You really have that what they call sincere understanding. You tell the mind, I want to wake up 5:30. Exactly 5:30, you wake up. No need to look at the clock. This one, a lot of people can do it. They also experience it. But if you are not serious, most of the time you sleep until you overshot the time. Wow, 6 o'clock, and then you hurry like anything. So no need to do that. Take your time. Late. But if you are sincere, everything will fall into place. Then if you are sick, or you're not enough rest, you want to sleep, you sleep, so you rest. We are conditioned like that. You have to accord and flow. Otherwise, your mind become unhappy. So, why I like that? I oversleep. Then you go and blame yourself. That's why remorse, everything come in. No, meditation is not like that. Meditation is to develop understanding. The thought is the thought. Don't listen to the thought. Don't believe the thought. Believe in your own nature, understand? Believe in your understanding. Then act with understanding, don't act with memory. That's why I always tell people, acting according to memory is not acting at all. This one, I heard it from Krishnamurti's quote. Very good. You know what is this one? I write it on the whiteboard. Acting according to memory. Is not acting at all. Here, acting means true action. Understand? Free of the three evil root. When you act according to memory, what are you doing? Let's discuss this. What is memory? Collection of what? All of your past. So memory is what they call Mahayana, the accumulation of past experiences. What are the experiences that you accumulate in your brain? All of your good and bad experiences. But human being very funny, you know. The one that hit you, make you miserable, traumatic, you remember very long. People cheat you or do things to you, you remember very long. So, we call it the scars of memory. These are scars, like people hurt you. After that, the scar is still there. That's how you accumulate these scars of memory. So, your scars of memory got what? Got hatred, anger, envy, jealousy, fear, selfishness, unhappiness. Then sometimes you go through sorrow, lamentation. Then when you meet those, they said, very traumatic type of experience in life, like child abuse. Certain people, they are abused by violent people, aggressive people, lustful people. So especially those who have stepfather or stepparents. Then there are many incidents of very traumatic experience. Maybe certain First Noble Truth reality hit you when you are very young. Your whole family maybe wiped off or lost everything. Then you hold on to that unhappiness. Then you cannot come to terms with it. Then your memory keep on thinking, why like that? Why is the world like that? How come God so unfair? And then you start to blame. Then what happens is, when you accumulate all this as memory, then you use this to act. What will happen? Means you act out of fear. Understand how? You act out of your insecurity, selfishness, envy, jealousy. That is not action. Understand how? You cannot act like that. Understand how? Understand how? That's why you become selfish. Understand how? Yeah, your memory record, wow, this guy last time cheated me before, I must be careful. Then what you do? You preempt. Then you have all this pre-planning. Then sometimes you say, this guy last time cheated me, I want to teach him a lesson. And then you act like that. With your delusion and selfishness. With your negativity. So what is action? What is pure action? The Buddha says, right action, noble eightfold path. And what is right action? Action that is free of the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So how can you act according to memory? Memory got delusion because you are not enlightened yet. Understand? Memory got its use. Understand? Like I told you the other day, you must remember what your name is, where you stay, how you sign your checkbook and other things. And this one you use memory. But when psychological experiences and problem, sorrow, lamentation, sadness, fear, worry, anxiety, you don't go and accumulate, understand not? Well, these are the things that will haunt you. They are evil roots. They will trigger of wrong thought. Your thought is respond to all this type of memory. That's why when there is any condition you recall. Sometimes you sleep also you got nightmare. We are subconscious and unconscious release. The mind want to find order. So this is what happening to your brain. So you don't act according to memory. But all human beings act according to memory unless they are already enlightened or they are very heedful. So, then how do you act? You ask me. Huh? You want to ask that question? Huh? You want to understand how to act? You act according to what? You act according to wisdom, understand? You use understanding to act, understand? So when you have the Dhamma, the essential Dhamma, these are the understanding. That's why you act according to this understanding, understand? When you know there is law of karma, that's why you have to exercise restraint. These are the things you cannot do, understand? You don't go through memory and allow the memory, oh, you got fear. Last time this guy cheat you, or somebody have experienced how he cannot snatch, understand, snatch thief. So every time you hear motorbike sound, panic like anything. You ask Sue last time, she told us her experience. He cannot snatch one time. For don't know how long. Every time you hear motorbike sound, the memory come out. Then there is fear. That is not the way to live life. But you cannot stop it because before you have the Dhamma, it is like that. But when you have the Dhamma, you contemplate and reflect. Oh, karma, understand not? Very likely in the past, I also one of the snatch thief. I caused this type of fear to people. And now, I'm the victim. I kena back. So, fair not? When you understand that way, then you can accept. You got no more fear. Oh, might as well repay. Huh? Need to repay, repay. Quickly, then ask for forgiveness, then repent. Then when you avoid the causes, when you avoid all evil, then in future, there will be no more such condition for it to arise. Understand? And that's how you develop understanding. Then you move on. Your life is within the moment. You don't go and recall the unhappy past that will make you fearful, miserable, unhappy. These are all wrong thoughts, like the Buddha said. You pay attention to things that are unfit for attention. Understand? You only pay attention to things that are fit for attention. And what are the things fit for attention? The handful of leaf, the four noble truths, the three turning. That's why I develop more of this contemplative wisdom. Then develop the straightening of view, the right view, the understanding to act accordingly. Then when you have noble eightfold path to guide you, means you got right view in regards to the law of karma, you know how to arrive right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood, then right effort. Then always mindful to develop the understanding. Then develop the stability of it until samadhi arise. And then sati samadhi allow you to see things as they are. That's how wisdom come to be, panya. And then you use that to act. You act according to your understanding, which is wisdom. And when you got wisdom, there is no negativity, is there? You act sincerely, honestly, without all this selfishness, without emotional negativity, without fear. And so you just act. And the action is spontaneous because you understand. That's why when you are with situation, you will know what to do because you are incapable of negativity. You will just have the respect, the gratitude, the gentleness, the pleasantness, and the sincerity. That's why you will have all this virtue inside you. All of Dhamma is when finally you can understand the importance of virtue. And this virtue has become a part of you. That is Dhamma. If you don't have virtue, whatever you do in the name of meditation, you are still energy field. When you come back to virtue, then you are really cultivating. The Buddhas all develop virtue until they are perfect. The 10 perfection. That's why without virtue, there is no Dhamma. There is no cultivation. Then when we chant the precept, what did the Buddha say? Huh? Virtue is the source of what? Huh? Virtue or precept is the source of what? Huh? Cannot remember. Now I read again. You better remember. Because you must get this understood. Huh? So the Buddha make it very clear. That's why you go to Thailand, huh? The monk always chant. Huh? They chant the 8 precepts. Huh? Ipmani atta sika padani silena sugatinyanti silena bhogasampada silena nibuttinyanti tassa silang visude. So this is what the monk always chant, but you don't understand. Except those who really develop the understanding and chanting. So the meaning is, the Buddha said, these are the 8 precepts. Precept or virtue is the source of happiness. When you keep your precept, you have a lot of happiness because you don't violate law of karma. You don't create evil. You avoid all evil. Then virtue and precept is also the source of true wealth. This one is not money. You know. True wealth is spiritual wealth. You know. Your merits, your blessing. These are your true wealth. Understand? Because you reap what you sow. When you have virtue, you are kind to people. You are sincere, you are honest, you are respectful. You are contented. That's why this will come back to you through karma. People will be nice to you. People will actually help you back in many, many ways. then people will give you the appropriate respect and gratitude towards what you have done for them. Then the other one is, the Buddha said, precept or virtue is the source of true peace, source of peacefulness. The last one is the best. Therefore, let virtue be purified. Means you not only keep your precept, no, you need to develop that ennobler. Understand? Then you need to become more and more mindful, heedful, so that you can even trace the subtle defilement, the subtle evil root, greed, hatred, and delusion. Sometimes the evil root come through the back door and tell you in a different way, a very subtle way. But actually, it is still a defilement. But it's so subtle, you don't seem to know. You tend to agree with the thought. It's just like when you meditate, the thought will tell you, wow, you have done well. Now you understand already all these things. You can teach already. Then you believe the thought. Yeah, I think I can teach already. Then before you even really understood or stabilize it, then you start to go out and do all those things. Then what happens is you cannot cope with the situation. You think so easy to teach. You have to go and try. And there are all sorts of cultivators around and they ask you funny questions. Then you realize you cannot cope. Well, I got one friend, Dhamma friend, last time together with me, breakfast one. Then she at first also cooked in the temple, the Sunday school. Then she only know how to do merits, dana, all this thing. Then she very sincere, very hardworking. But she has a past, no, very funny. No? Then all of a sudden, one day, he came and talked to me. He said, he called me Atio, because we all very close. He said, Atio, why Achanyantra, my teacher, told you the Thai monk, Achanyantra say, you have enough merit, you must meditate now. He said, why Achanyantra keep on telling her that? He cannot understand. I said, yeah, you did so much dana, you already full of merit, you somehow want merit. Now meditate. Ayo, Atio, he said, how to meditate? He said, because he joined the Burmese. He said, I go in, morning check in, afternoon check out. I said, why? Ayo, I don't know what they teach, he said. He said, that type of walking, she like a zombie. He said, standing. Ayo, he said, cannot. I said, I almost fell. He said, then I check out. I said, no wonder, because this is not something you are familiar with. Then you know what happened? After that, he went and do meditation as per the one. Then he said, how to meditate? Like the monk said, anapanasati. Then after that, you do all this. There was one night, he went and meditated at home. No? I tell you that sitting, she went in for 4 hours. And she developed all the jhana 1 to 8. No? Oh God. One shot, no? Then he became so different. The husband also panicked. Overnight, he becomes so different. Then he called me. Oh. Wow, he said, like that one. Then you know what happened? After many, many years, then I think their family donated a piece of land to Ramahinda. Then after that, he tried to help out them. Then he told me, he came and checked with me. He knew I had been sharing and teaching other people. He said, where we used to have tetare once a while. And he said, I said, how you teach? I said, you just teach. Cannot lie. I said, the question cannot answer one. I said, you all sorts of cultures. You think so easy. You got cases like poly and like that. Then you got all sorts of paths different. So it's not easy. Then if you don't have enough understanding, you only know what you do, the jhana, everything, then maybe you can teach that type of meditation. But daily mindfulness, they cannot do, it's not their piece of cake, they didn't do in the past. So because of that, I think she also came to know, not easy. He always tell me not. He said, he speak in Hokkien, lui ka, you can teach. He said, all sorts of questions, how you cope, I say, I don't need to go on. I listen, I answer. I didn't even prepare notes. Don't prepare notes. That's why they cannot understand. And it's not easy. That's why I say the defilement of inside, the thought come through the back door and tell you all this story. And you tend to believe the thought. You know, yeah, I think I have developed a lot. I think I understood the teaching. Oh, then you're too eager to share. So then you get yourself into trouble. Then after that you realize, I am not ready yet. Then you tone down. But some people, they don't even have the mindfulness. They didn't tone down. You know what they do? They argue. They argue, want to be right. Then they challenge. Then they go and check the book. Then they quote. Then they reply. Then it end up, and not sharing understanding. End up trying to be right. Because you still haven't penetrated. That's why you want to be right. But when you penetrated, there is no right, no wrong. We respect them for what they are. They teach this way because they understand it this way. So that is their understanding. So when you can accept them for what they are, then you develop mutual respect for each other. So this is how you can avoid unnecessary conflict and misunderstanding. And you can only do that when you have noble eightfold path as well. Because you're aware. Once wrong speech leads to misunderstanding, you're aware, you cannot arise. You don't want to argue. Then you can still like say in a very nice way, yeah, I think you are right. Then you think I lie. I didn't lie, you know. Right according to them. You always think, hey, but like that means you lie lah. I where got lie? I say, right, you are right. Right according to them. Not right according to the Dhamma. Right according to what they believe and think. So you say, thank you. Then they are happy. They say, hey, brother, you say I right, you know. He somehow go ahead, later go ahead and quote and tell you, hey, brother, you confirm I right. So far, no such case. If they have such case, then other Dhamma friends come and check and say, but you did say he's right. He's sure right or right according to him. Understand? So when you understand, you are at peace. Understand? You got no point. Who wants to be right? Who wants to be right? Who wants to be right? The thought, the ego wants to be right. So right and wrong doesn't bring about solution and understanding. Right and wrong just build up the ego. Understand? Why you want to be right? Right doesn't make any difference. You know? Doesn't help you. You know? But if you develop wisdom, it helps you. Understand? But wanting to be right, that's why I say right and wrong will not solve your problem, will not help you. Even in the office when I was working last time, my first rule is I tell all my staff, meeting that time, I say, don't try to be right. Otherwise, you should argue on. Everybody cover back side. Then blame the other side. There, that section I didn't do. Mr. Teo, I already told him, but he didn't follow up. I say, it's still our problem, our department's problem. We are here to solve all these problems, to resolve issue, not to come here and argue and push responsibility here and there. Then what for whole meeting? Meeting is to resolve issue. So why can't we act as a team? We identify the problem or the whatever complaint that come in. And then we tell ourselves who is good at which particular thing. And then you assign, okay, you take charge of this, you take charge of this. Then don't argue, support each other. And that's how I standardize everything. Then everything flow smoothly. Last time, every time I argue, the technician will blame the junior tech. The junior tech will blame the laborer. Then he say, I didn't receive. Just one word. You where God instruct me? You where God write to me? I didn't receive. One word. Then they say, okay, next time I get you to sign. All this become red tape, unnecessary paperwork. Why you want to have all this? Is because you try to protect yourself, you try to cover your own so-called backside. So when you want to resolve problem, you don't resort to right and wrong as well. You just be sincere, honest. Identify what are the problems. Then who can help? Who can do? I just like our Kayana Mitta. I never allocate duty when they go and allocate themselves. They only come to me for advice. Then I say, okay, you do like that. Then after that, they do. Then I give them a free hand. Sometimes I don't even know who is coming for the retreat. I don't even have the complete list. Then who do what duty, I roughly know, but I don't have the full detail. But I don't need to know. Why I want to know? Understand? But if you got problem, cannot resolve, you come and discuss. Then I tell you, we do like that. Simple. No need to create unnecessary misunderstanding. Yes. Yeah, Jin Hao, pass the mic to him.
For the past 3 nights, I couldn't sleep, and I usually don't have sleeping problems. See? And I referred to also to Paramasuri and Alicia yesterday, that they say they got energy or something, but I don't feel any energy.
Okay.
yet I still
cannot sleep.
I still do whatever, like say sorry or thank you to whatever thing, you see.
Oh, okay.
And the very strange part was that I only managed to sleep in the earlier morning.
Yeah.
And I slept very little.
Yeah.
Yet,
you
I
become
had
very,
very
fresh. You become very fresh. Okay.
Yet I had a very long dreams.
Yeah.
And this happens for the past 3 days. The same thing also.
Yeah.
And when I wake up, I'm quite alert.
Yeah. Can you remember the dream?
Yes.
Oh, very good.
I mean, very weird, is it? It's
never like, mind. Just describe. Because sometimes this being, towards the morning, they want to pass you a message. Understand? You only receive them before you wake up. You try to recall.
So that's why I just also don't know whether will happen for another few more days.
You don't worry. We have the thought always, preempt myself. If this continues for the next few days, I will have before. So you don't do that. Then you don't go and compare. Wow, I at home can sleep very well. Because sometimes it could be environment different, your mind state different, that's enough. So what you need to do is, if you need to exercise more and make you tired so that you can sleep, you go exercise, that's enough. Then if you just really want to find out, then you silence your mind and find out what is making you not able to sleep. There must be something up there in your brain. Otherwise, you sleep very well. Because you don't have blocked nose, anything. You
got nothing. Sinus.
Oh, you got blocked nose, no wonder.
But
here, the temperature is so cold, you got blocked nose, it's not easy to sleep because after a while, it gets blocked.
But I don't think that is the issue, is it? Because
you don't have breathing problem.
I mean, I have sinus, yes.
But here, in the night when you sleep, you don't like, suddenly you wake up because you have breathing problem, mucus and all that. I don't have. That is not due to that. So whatever it is, you can find out. Understand not? You say you got no energy and yet you cannot sleep, means what?
No, I got energy, yeah.
No, you
I
didn't
mean,
receive.
Oh, no, energy. I don't sense that. You see.
Then you still cannot sleep. Means what?
Don't.
You have to find out. Okay. So, how can a person can sleep very well at home, then come here, no problem, cannot sleep?
Yeah.
Because I know. Very loud. I don't know whether you're aware or not. You aware or not? You not aware, that's where you sleep. Because during the afternoon and the evening, very loud. So I look around, nobody lie down meditation. So was he sleeping? You like punk, yeah, very good.
let me share a little bit. Jin Hao is my roommate. So when he say he doesn't sleep at all, but I can hear him snoring. And snoring is quite loud.
Very loud.
He's actually grasping for
air. But he doesn't know. He doesn't know.
I think he may have blocked nose.
Yeah, then he don't have good sleep. That's why he think he didn't sleep. That's why not. Because you don't have good sleep inside there. Then you cannot recall because you don't feel peaceful. Only towards the morning. That's why not. Towards the morning, I think the condition different. No, most people find it very funny. You know. Towards the morning is the best time to sleep. You know. My wife also used to tell me that. He said, towards the morning, sleep very well. Don't disturb me. Because I think that is the time where everybody wake up already. You know. Then you are the very few who rest and sleep. So you find out that sometimes the environment, like my mother, if she travel to another place, check her into a luxurious 5-star hotel so she cannot sleep. Because she like her old bed at home. The traditional one, is it? He said, this one too soft, is it? Oh, he said, don't know what type of bed is it. But he don't understand what the pillow is. He want the hard one. The one make of wooden or timber. So she not used to it. He said, wow, is it so soft? How to sleep, is it? Then she got problem. So you have to find out, different people do. But according to Pang's report, means you got sleep, but you don't have good sleep. Then you got blocked nose problem. You snore very loud because you're tired. When you are tired, you will snore. Then you become unconscious. But you learn to relax, then maintain awareness. You develop your daily mindfulness more and more. Then try to sit until the calmness comes. The peace, the awareness come. That will help you. Is this the first retreat? You've been to other retreat before, but how you feel when you're at other retreat? No, you just report. Do you feel peaceful? Can you meditate?
Okay
means what?
Yesterday
Do you have like good sitting and all those things, and are you able to develop the meditation, develop the mindfulness and everything?
Yesterday I had a short good sitting. For the past 2 days, you know, my mind is up and down, up and down. Yeah. But quite strange was that for don't know what reason, it's just suddenly very quiet. Very quiet.
That's why when you're patient enough, it will happen. Just like her sister, suddenly the thought like no more there. Then you experience the calmness, the peace. But you don't go and attach. Don't go and recall through memory. Wow, that night I got it. I must do it again. Then the thought come in already. Continue.
And then I can notice that the breath is together.
Yes. That's why when you are mindful and peaceful, the breath and the mind is one. That is what Anapanasati is all about.
And also,
it's very natural.
I noticed one thing is that I still have thought.
Yes.
But the thought is
not active.
It's like I'm standing from a distance. To notice.
That is the awareness that is aware of that thought.
The thought.
When you are mindful, the silence inside, the awareness is there. Then this thought is respond to memory from the brain. That's how you can see. The awareness can see thought. But thought cannot see awareness. Very good.
And then the sitting position will just automatically adjust.
Fall into place. Adjust. No pain.
I still notice there's little pain, but it's like the pain bearable, is detached, is it?
Detached and bearable. It's not causing you problem.
Yeah.
You are aware of the phenomena there, but it's not causing you any problem. Because your mind has more of this pity and sukha. It's just like sense imprisonment. Whichever more strong will take over. So you got a lot of peace, a lot of calmness, like those in jhana. You got a lot of tranquility, stillness, and the calmness. Then they don't feel pain. They can sit for sometimes hours and hours or days. It's the condition of the mind. whichever is more stable and more strong, you will experience it. Then it will actually cover the other sensation. That's why those who are in the blissful state, they cannot feel any pain or any numbness or itchiness or whatever, because that feeling or that mental state is so different, so beautiful. Yeah. It's normal. Yeah. Good. So at least you experience that. Huh? But meditation is not only to experience peace and calm. Peace and calm is a byproduct of meditation as well. It will come when the mind is mindful. Means when you train it appropriately, it will come. So you understand all these are conditioned, right? So you need to be patient, just silent, be with the moment. Then this piti sukha keep on arising on. Oh. You don't believe, you just try what I wrote on the board. Silent your mind and be with the moment and at peace with all distraction or whatever. Yeah. Whatever that the mind is perceiving or feeling or whatever. Just be with it at peace. Don't try to do anything. Just stay there. Then let it be quiet. And then it will become very naturally peaceful. Then the awareness will actually surface. And then when you experience that, you will experience like what they go through. Suddenly the mind becomes very quiet, very calm. We have no more thinking. Then the awareness is automatic. Breath and mindfulness as one, very smooth, very natural. No forcing on. The awareness, where you are with it. With it means whatever the breath do, the awareness follow, just follow. No need to know anything. Yeah. Then you will also come to know that sometimes before it stabilizes, there are still thoughts. Understand that? Because of the habitual tendency, the way you live your life. As you settle down into a retreat after today, most of you are more peaceful and more calm without you knowing. So if you have the faith, you sincerely meditate, your mind will settle down and become beautiful, silent. Then you determine to stabilize it. Then do your daily mindfulness. Use this stabilized mindfulness to actually cultivate daily mindfulness. So all action, all movement, develop mindfulness. Answering nature's call when you take off your clothing, go for a bath, be mindful of every action, every movement, and how the water, although I use the word water, but when you silence your mind, there is no water, it's just whatever that when the tactile sensation, that then you just feel, understand not? Then you realize, the mind is different. Whatever that you can feel with the mind, at least that is more real than all the other that arise through consciousness. Like you open your eye. Oh, all these things, the building, the yogi, the poster, everything arise already, real, exists. Understand? But how do you know them? It's just through perception, through consciousness. You can't even feel them, no? Understand? Your mind can't even feel them, no? So how real can they be? That's why the Buddha said they are the phenomenal world, understand? Condition arising phenomena. The world of consciousness. How real can that world be? Understand? Understand? So, if you contemplate and you play with this and develop understanding, it's very beautiful. When you open your eye, the whole of the visual perception, the phenomenal world born of your seeing, arise already. Then like very real, exists. Then you can perceive it. Then you can use your whatever mind to deal with it. Whether you have wisdom or you don't have wisdom, then you will react differently. But when you have wisdom and understanding, when you contemplate, then Dhamma arise. But you don't have wisdom, then you continue your heedless thinking. Then well, you see, you don't really see because you got problem, you worry. Because most people go for picnic or tour or whatever is to get away from the stress and all those things. They want to relax. But when they go there, they don't really know how to relax. Maybe initially very happy. Wow, scenery very nice, everything. But they are not really mindful and aware. No? So what happened is, the thought come back. Your office. What happened when I'm not there? Will my boss call me? This work I assigned, were they? You are having holiday, you know, and you go and project your thought backward and go and worry about this thing. Then why you go for holiday? You might as well sit at home and do the thinking. So make full use of the understanding. The moment is the only reality. When you are there, just do your thing. Then if there is urgent call or what, need to attend, attend. Otherwise, you tell them, if it's not so urgent, wait till I come back. Then you don't have to carry all this burden of memory, worry, anxiety, fear, all this thing. So this is how to slowly, slowly develop the understanding to live life. Okay? 12 o'clock already. You better go for lunch. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will do the chanting, the respect to the triple gem, the Thai style.
Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Svakato bhagavata dhammo dhamma namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghang namami.
Okay, you can go for your lunch. Huh?